If you would turn with me to Job chapter 3, that's where we're going to be this morning as we continue to look at lessons from Job, as we listen to some of the crying out of Job, as we listen to some of the things that Job has to say that can help us in our lives, maybe to prevent some of the things that he went through, prevent maybe making and listening to bad advice from others. All of these things. For the last 2 weeks, we've really kind of set this up now to look at Job. We see that Job was afflicted. We see that he lost possessions. We lost wealth. He lost family members. And then as he's reeling and trying to get a hold and get a grip on all of those things, we see that he is inflicted with physical pain, boils that completely covered his body, that he had to dealt with. And how many would agree he was a mess if there ever was a person that was a mess? He believed that God was doing these things, so he really was trying to get a grip on these things. He thought God had done these things, yet in chapter 1 and chapter 2, we saw that both of those chapters end that in this, Job didn't curse God. In this, Job didn't curse in what he said, because he believed that no matter what God was doing, that he was going to serve God. His wife, last week we saw, said, curse God and die. And you know, just curse God and die. Put this to an end. And he decides that, shall God not get honor and glory in my life no matter what he's doing? Chapter 2 ends with three of Job's friends that begin to minister to him, and that's where we're going to pick it up this morning. If I had to put a summary on this, this morning, if you get nothing else out of this, only God can bring healing for depression. Only God can bring healing in discouragement, in the fact that he will use other people, don't get me wrong. If you need to be counseled, if you need to have other people involved in your life, by all means, I'm saying that you should do this, but God brings healing. God will bring healing to us if we allow him to do these. He's the one that will answer those hard questions in our lives, even the question that sometimes we're not sure to even answer or ask. Say amen to that. Sometimes we don't even know what we need. We don't even know what we need to hear. He can use other people to help us and to be comfort when we're healing, hurting. Amen. Would you just bow your head for me? Father, as we go to your word this morning, I'm asking for our hearts to be open. I'm asking, Lord God, for a hurting heart to allow you to minister to them. I'm asking for hearts that want to be in ministry that would be sensitive to those that are around us, that we wouldn't be so distracted trying to run our lives and fulfill our promises and our goals that we miss those that are hurting right around us, and that you would want to use us to be a tool to minister to them. Asking, Lord God, that as we just take a moment here in these passages, that you would speak directly to us. I ask for your anointing. I'm asking for our hearts to be open. And I'm asking, Lord God, that you would accomplish all that you want to accomplish this morning. In Jesus' powerful name, amen. If you would turn with me to Job chapter 3, I'm going to begin at verse 1. After Job had went through all of these things, chapter 3 begins this. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. He said, may the day of my birth perish, and the night that said a boy is conceived, that day may it turn to darkness. May God above not care about it. May no light shine on it. May gloom and utter darkness claim it once more. May a cloud settle over it. May blackness overwhelm it that night. May thick darkness seize it. May it not be included among the days of the year, nor be entered in any of the months. May that night be barren. May no shout of joy be heard in it. May those who curse days curse that day. Those who are ready to rouse Leviathan, may its morning stars become dark. May it wait for daylight in vain and not see the first rays of dawn. For it did not shut the doors of the womb on me to hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb? Why were there knees to receive me and breasts that might be nursed? For now I would be lying down in peace. I would be asleep and at rest with kings and rulers of the earth who built for themselves places now lying in ruins, with princes who had gold, who filled their houses with silver. Or why was I not hidden away in the ground like a stillborn child, like an infant who never saw the light of day? There the wicked cease from turmoil, and there the weary are at rest. Captives also enjoy their ease. They no longer hear the slave driver's shout. The small and the great are there, and the slaves are freed from their owners. Why is light given to those in misery, and life to a bitter of soul? To those who long for death that does not come, who search for it more than for hidden treasure, who are filled with gladness and rejoice when they reach the grave, why is life given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? For sighing has become my daily food. My groans pour out like water. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. I would have to say that man is hurting, wouldn't you? I mean, that if anything, that would be a heart that I would say is broken and laid wide open before the Lord. It sounds to me like a man that is not only yelling at God, he's crying out to God, and is one that is in need of someone to come and comfort him, someone to intervene, one who is looking for someone to be that hand extended, looking for someone that is going to show him that life matters. Would you say amen to that? I mean, that it 20-some verses of a man crying out, telling everyone that would possibly be listening that he no longer wants to be here. And he can't understand why he is here, because he is so broken. And if you go back to verse 2:11, and it's kind of the thrust of where we're going this morning, here's verse 11 to 13. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, get past these words, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads when they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Let that sink in a minute. Sometimes we just take these verses and we just read through them and we don't let it really sink in a minute. Those were some good friends. When you stop and you think about that, to stay there for seven full days with him because they saw how bad he was, they probably were fearing that he would even take his life. They met together beforehand and agreed upon with the three of them that they were going to stay with him no matter what. No matter if he was going to talk or not, they were going to spend that time with him. They had decided to get with him, and even if they didn't say anything, they were going to spend that time with him. They saw him. The scripture tells us that they saw him. He was so disheveled that they couldn't even recognize him. He was physically unkempt. He had been worn out. He had been, so bad that they said even his facial features were changed. He had been crying out to God. He had been starving himself. He had probably a hoarse throat so bad from yelling at God. Yet they had nothing they were going to say to him. And I believe if they were there, the scripture tells us they were there, but you know what? I don't think Job even noticed. At the time, I don't think Job even knew that he was so full of himself and what he was going through that even though those men sat down, he probably saw them, but he didn't see them. He probably heard them, but he didn't hear what anything they had to say. That they grieved for their friend. They had a plan, and that plan was just to be there. That plan was to be, no matter what, they were just going to spend that time with him. Let me say something to you this morning. Sometimes we just need to have our presence known in people that are going through these things. You say amen? Sometimes it's better to be there and say nothing. Talking can be an option. Because sometimes they just need to know someone cares. They're not really looking at you to have all the wisdom to share, but they're looking for you to just show them that you care. Show them that they matter. It's a warm body that just says, I care. And most scholars, if you take and you look at this book of Job, they're saying that Job is kind of in a monologue here rather than a dialogue. And what he's saying is, Job is almost talking to himself. Job is in a one-man monologue, talking to himself, crying out to God, telling God how he feels, and even though these people are all around, he's expressing himself to God. He's letting God know what is going on in his life and how he feels. And these three friends, they're sitting there, and I'm sure they heard him. And I'm sure God was listening, and I'm sure that all of these things were just flooding their minds, and his emotions have just exploded. That he's a mess, and you see that he can't be the same confident man that had made all this wealth, all the things that were going on. You see that he could not have been that person. The whole chapter is really of his unraveling in his life and watching all these things go on. He no longer has the one that had these feelings that he kept to himself. It exploded so bad that he began to talk to himself. Now, I talk to myself, and if you are honest, you probably do too. Because sometimes I want to find somebody intelligent to talk to. I do have a great prayer partner that just poked his finger at me. So, yeah, I know, I know. But the point I'm trying to make this morning is sometimes we need to talk to ourselves. Sometimes we need to vent and get that out, and the Lord hears us and friends hear us. But sometimes we just need to get that out. And that's where he was at. Here Job is focusing on his past and desiring that his life would have never been. You see him say, I wish I was never born. Wish I had died at birth. Wish I had been, you know, wish I would die right now. That's a man with some issues. And that's a man that God wants to minister to. And that's a man that God wants to change his heart. There's an illustration that I found. It's a survivor of a shipwreck, and he's the last one. He's washed up on this small island. It's an uninhabited island, and he works at this island. He's fighting for food, finding his way, and he eventually builds this hut to get himself out of the elements so that mosquitoes and heat and all these other things wouldn't get at him. And one day he was out going for food, and he come back, and his hut was on fire. And it was the last straw. I believe it would have been just like Job, you know. It's the last straw. And he said, God, how could you do this to me? How could you do this to me? Ever been there? Asking God that question. God, how can you do this to me? He ends up going to sleep, and the next morning he's awoken by people coming onto the island to rescue him. And he's beside himself. He cannot think how in the world, after all those dead issues of trying to flag planes down that it went over. And he asked the guy, how in the world did you know I was here? He said, well, we saw your smoke signal. Stop and think about it. What appeared to be bad, which appeared to be all that he could take, which he thought that God had abandoned, he used that to be the ultimate way of getting him rescued. We saw your smoke signal. I think Job, in all of this yelling and all of his screaming, was sending up smoke signals. He's asking for help. He's asking for someone to see what's going on. In our times of despair, we don't always see the good that God is doing. We don't always see God in anything that times that were hard to focus. One of my favorite scriptures is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them are called according to God's purpose. And that verse just kind of hangs with me. And sometimes it's a verse that I grab onto, and it's also a verse that I know it's hard to be all in on God when you don't think God is in it. Say amen. You can say amen. It's all right. This is one of the times. Let God know that there are some things on your heart. It's hard to be all in on God when you think God is the one that's not listening. The verse is preceded here by some prayer time, because we don't know what to pray in our weakness. The Holy Spirit is invited to help us to pray, gives us words to be praying, and gives us the help that we're needed, and we're inviting God into the relationship. How many need that this morning? How many really need God to hear what we have to say, or answer a prayer that we've been given to God for so long? So if you're taking notes, I have 3 points here this morning. Number one is this: Job cried out to God. A lot of times we're asking God to get involved, but we're not crying out to God. We're not asking God to be in on the way of healing, the way of getting it taken care of. We just want to have God fix it. Job cried out to God. Job cries out to God, and here he's beside himself, and he's feeling the pain, and he doesn't know what to do. And you've been there. You've been there. We've all been there. Have you at some point thought that God was against you? Have you at some point thought that God wasn't listening? Have you thought, I'm doing everything I know to do, God, and this just seems to be going south? I think most of us have, and I must say this: God created each of us so he understands those feelings that we have. Say amen to that. He understands. God gave us feelings. God gave us emotions. God gave us the ability to hurt and just be sensitive and to be rational and all these things. So God created us. He knows the emotions that we feel, especially if they're mixed up and we don't know what to do with them. It's okay to experience them, but I'm telling you this morning that at some point you need to cry out to God. At some point you need to be moving forward and not just staying in that rut. We pretend sometimes that we're too spiritual to have these things. We give this impression that we have it all together. We give this impression that, you know, I can't feel this way because I've been a Christian for a long time, so I can't feel this way. God, I know I should be calling out to you, but I've been a Christian so long that what if somebody would think I'm not as spiritual as I should be? We rationalize it, and we begin falling apart, and we begin not being in control. And I think there's a reason that a lot of people are stuck in their spiritual life, and it's really not profound. It's because they feel trapped and they feel powerless. And the reason they feel trapped and powerless is because they have no vent. I can't tell anybody what's going on in my life. I can't show my emotions because somebody might get the wrong impression. God knows. God sees us. We're intricately made by God, and he knows what's going on in our lives. The thing that bothers me the most is that somebody will say, well, that church or that churches in general are hypocritical because there's a lot of people that are sinners going there. Well, yeah. Can you say amen to that? There's people that have problems, and we don't claim to be perfect, and I don't claim to be perfect, and we don't have that problem sharing that, you know what, I don't always have it together. I don't always have the right thoughts. I don't always do the right things. God hears us. He knows us. Another thing, I think some people just never grow up in their faith. And one of the reasons for that is because they never can see the big picture. And they're never okay that they can't see the big picture. They never can get a grip on that God can, and he didn't let them know first. On if you could grab on and see that God has the big picture, even though you can't see it, and you're okay with that, I begin to see that we would grow in our faith. We would begin to have a bigger trust into the Lord. And if we could just grab on that the God that we serve is bigger and smarter than we are, we would see some of these turn corners. And the shocker is this: God's not surprised that Job couldn't handle it. Say amen. God was not surprised that Job couldn't handle it. He knew Job wouldn't be able to handle it. But he also knew that Job would know where to turn and where he would go with that. He never expected Job to make it there by himself. He doesn't expect us to make it by ourselves. My first church as a youth pastor was in Fear Not. Fear Not, Pennsylvania. The name of the church was Fear Not Church. And on the back wall, some Karen and Leonard were here, they know. On the back wall of that church was Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, clever, ain't it? Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with the righteous right hand. Can you say amen to that? That should be our prayer. Fear not, because God is in this. Fear not is that you serve a God that loves you. Fear not, you don't have to have all the answers. Fear not, he does. And the scope of this verse, Isaiah 41:10, the whole scope of that verse is to silence fear and encourage strength. This verse is God encouraging the nation of Israel who was in captivity, but it sure fits our lives sometimes, don't it? Can I take a side road for a minute? Because I think the principle works here. That if we would allow God to do that, and on this side of heaven, he certainly wants to offer up faith and strength to us. That when we depend on him, and when we have our backs against the wall, that he wants to work in our lives. When we don't have all the answers, and sometimes we don't even know what we're fighting against, that we may see an all-sufficient God that hasn't given up on us begin to do some amazing things. About 2 weeks ago now, I've started a video teaching series, and I'm calling it Thinking Out Loud, and some of you have checked it out, and it's getting a great response. And part of that, and the second one that I did, was how much God loves us. If we would really understand how much God loves us and how much he desires to pursue us and will do whatever he can to make sure that we understand how much he loves us and draws us to himself, that when we're crying out, he shares in our hurts. He shares in all of these things and desires to make his presence known to us. So number one is Job cried out. And the second part is Job seeks comfort in his friends. The ones that were willing You know, Job sought comfort. His friends, the three that were willing to sit down on the ground with a broken man and not say a word because they knew that the only thing he needed was to know that he had support and the only thing that he needed would come from God. They sat down there and offered a listening ear. And boy, did they get an earful. Amen? Job didn't disappoint. He let them know what was going on. In the thick of Job's trials, he cursed the day he was born, but he never cursed his God, which opened up opportunity for him to be ministered to by God. Psalm 46, 1 says this, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Proverbs 18 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. We sing a chorus that way. Nehemiah says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Job sought comfort, even if he didn't know that that's what he needed. Job knew that he had to do something there. He was crying out. And I think today many call on God only when it's convenient. And many call on God as long as it doesn't cost them something. Job wanted God to respond. God, where are you? God, why don't you answer me? God, what did I do to you to cause this to happen? Then scripture says that this Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I come from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And when his wife was still asking him, are you still maintaining integrity? He replied, shall we accept good from God and not troubles? Job found comfort in the presence of God. After you cried out, you say amen to that. You begin to see it turn. And now there's verses and chapters how his friends would say something, Job would reply. Some he liked, some he didn't like. Some he grabbed onto, some he didn't. But chapters and chapters of correspondence between his friends and him and God intermingling and listening to what's going on. When we're humbled, God begins to heal. When we're broken and we allow God to hear our cries, it gets past all the noise. He begins to do a mighty thing. And the last thing is this. Job asked God for answers. Have you ever asked God, God, why me? Why is this happening? You know it's okay to ask God that. Nowhere in Scripture does it say God doesn't allow questions. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that God was mad at Job because he asked questions. Many are afraid to ask God those hard questions because somehow they think that God will be offended if they ask those questions. God can handle your questions if you can handle the answers. God can handle the questions. He has no problem with that. Can you handle the answers? And those times that he's silent, can you be patient and waiting for him to answer in his properly way? It's okay to ask these questions. Psalm 13, verse 5 and 6, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Psalm 10, 14, but you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. We serve a God that wants us to cry out. We serve a God that wants us to ask the questions that are on our heart. God doesn't promise to answer all our questions. Say amen to that. God doesn't promise to answer. Like Job, we may not have all the answers. And we may not have at the time the big picture. Because remember, Job is thinking God is doing this. and all the time that God is allowing this because Job was right doing what he was supposed to be doing, and he was bringing honor to God. On this side of the cross, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Come unto me, all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give rest. And then another one of my favorite verses, now to him who is able to keep you from submitting and stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, be honor and glory to God. As we close this morning, I don't know where you're at, but God does. I don't know where you're at, but I'm telling you I care. But even more than I care, God cares what's going on in your life, how he wants to minister to you, how he wants to be there, how he wants to intervene in those circumstances. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would like me to pray, if you would like answers from the Lord this morning, I'm going to just ask you to come even now while I'm finishing up, that we're going to have a word of prayer, to come and allow God to minister to us. Allow God to answer those questions that you may have, those things that keep you up at night, those emotions that you don't know what to do with. I'm going to just ask you, if you just come and just right here. And you know, we're just going to have a time of prayer. We're just going to have a time of asking God to minister. What's the Lord saying to you this morning? What does he want to do? What answers do you need? What do you need this morning? Can't help but God's doing something. Amen. Just find a spot. We're just going to have a word of prayer. Amen. Sometimes I think we're so watching the clock. I think so much that we're worried about what other people are thinking, that we miss that our God is a healer. We miss that God is a provider. We miss that God is our Savior, and sometimes we need to do the tough things. Sometimes we think God is abandoning us, and it really isn't the case, but that's how we feel. And we just need to give that old devil a kick sometimes and just say, you know what? By faith, I'm going to step out. By faith, I'm going to take that walk, and God, ask you the hard questions so that I might get the answers that I need. Anyone else before we just go to prayer here? Father God, Abba Father, we can ask the tough questions because of who we're asking the question to. Father God, as we give these thoughts and these things going on in our life to you, we ask that you would reveal yourself to these circumstances. Give us the answers that we need, Lord God. Allow us to be in your presence. Allow us to sense what you're doing in our lives. Allow us to lay aside all the hindrances that would keep us from receiving the word that you have for us. We're not perfect. We don't pretend to be perfect. We need you, desperately need you in our lives. Desperately need you to hear our cry this morning. Father, we're asking that you would give us answers. Asking that you would meet needs. Asking you to be the healer. Asking you to be the provider. Asking you, Lord Jesus, to be Savior of our lives. Asking you to do far more than we can even imagine in our minds, because your ways are higher than our ways. Your power is unlimited. For each one that has taken the step to the front this morning, ask that you would reveal yourself in a mighty, powerful way. For those that are bowing their head in their seat, meet them where they're at, Lord Jesus. That this wasn't just a time that we heard your word, but a time that we heard your word and responded, and you replied. And we're going to give you honor. We're going to give you praise. We thank you this morning. We're thanking you this morning for what you haven't even done yet, because we know that you're more than able and that you will do it. It is your desire that your children be healthy spiritually, healthy in their relationship with you. Begin there, Lord, and all the other things will fall into place. In your powerful name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen, Jesus.